Welcome to the Walk City Council. And before we start, I just need to read something into the record. This is a virtual Zoom meeting. You may access or participate in the meeting using the Zoom application on a smart device or on a PC via the web at zoom.us and clicking on join a meeting in the upper right of the page. The webinar ID is 978-8786-9794. Anyone wanting to participate via telephone may only call one of the following numbers. Non-toll-free numbers. While most mobile phone carriers do not place an extra charge on customers for toll calls, it is up to you to check your carrier concerning potential charges you would be responsible for. The non-toll-free numbers are all starting with a 1 in the following 9 digits, 646-558-8656, 301-715-8592, 312-626-6799, 669-900-9128.
Do we lose you, Council President?
Oh, good.
247-888-788-0099, 833-548-0276, and 833-548-0282. If you experience any trouble connecting via a toll-free number, please try the next number on the list. You will then be asked to punch in the webinar ID, which I just gave, but it's 978-8786-9794 on your touchtone pad. While everyone joining the meeting will be muted, if at the appropriate time during the proceedings you wish to ask a question, you may, if using a smartphone or a PC, click on the raise hand icon. The meeting moderator will then ask for the participant having raised their hand to be unmuted. After the question, answer, and any further discussion, the participant will be muted again and will need to click on the raise hand icon or punch *9 to ask another question. In phoning in, punch *9 on the touchtone keypad. The moderator will indicate when it is your turn to comment / ask a question. With that being said, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola.
Here.
Mr. Corley.
Here.
Mr. Howe.
Here.
Mr. Howe.
Howe.
Here. Here.
Mr. Lattisa.
Here.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. McElroy.
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Snappy.
Here.
Ms. Travis.
Here.
9 present.
Here. Thank you. Why don't we have Councilman Corley, why don't you lead us in the salute to the flag? Councilman Corley, you have to unmute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible
with liberty and justice
for all.
Please play the national anthem. Are you okay? We're all back.
Stand by, counsel. We're experiencing a little difficulty here. Just a moment.
Okay.
That happened last month, too. That happened last month.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda is executive communications. There are none under general communications. I first wanted to wish a happy birthday to Councilman Ricks, who I don't see here. Happy birthday, Councilman.
Happy birthday, Councilman. Thank you.
And it's nice of you to spend your birthday with us.
2 years in a row.
And I know that was your first choice. I know. I'd like to congratulate everybody, that won, obviously, yesterday. I know we all put in a lot of effort. And even to the people that didn't win, to thank them too, because without people being involved in democracy, it doesn't make Warwick a better place to live. And everybody should be proud, whether they won or not, of the effort that they put in, and know that all the citizens of Warwick appreciate all our efforts and those of opponents for everyone also. I also was very pleased that the bond referendum passed for the schools. And unfortunately, I was disappointed that we never had the opportunity to get money on for the high schools. I'll leave that to the next council, which includes a lot of you folks. I think that they desperately need that. And, I know we were working hard on it and COVID-19 hit, and we weren't able to get that item on the agenda. I also wanted to state that we wish new Mayor Picozzi well, and also Mayor Solomon well with his future endeavors. We all know that that was a hard fought race. And I've also extended my hand to Mr. Picozzi, and I know all of you will do the same also to help his transition in any way that we can in the best interest of all the residents that we represent. I've also offered him, if he needs it, the use of my office, the president's office at Buttonwoods, anytime that he feels that he needs to use it. With that, I wish him well and all you folks well. I think most of you are coming back next year. And I know it's going to be a difficult year with COVID, and I wish you all the best on behalf of everyone in the city. Are there any other general communications that members would like to make? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. A few things that happened in Ward 3 and throughout the city. First, I'd like to identify the Sand Pond Spooky Path. That was a couple Fridays ago. It was community organized by the people of Sand Pond. Basically, it was a family get-together, and it was $5 per family. Very cheap, and all the neighbors got together in the pond around Sand Pond, or the path around Sand Pond. All the neighbors got together. They lit it up. They put the decorations. I was fortunate enough to help. They allowed me to help out with parking and as we went. And I got to tell you, Mr. President and fellow council members, it was wonderful to see a community get together and do this on their own, but especially to see the amount of participation where the kids were excited in their full costume gear. Parents had full costume gear. And they were skipping in the streets. They were laughing. They were joking. It was just such a great event. It was one of those things that lasted a couple hours and you just didn't want it to end. So I have to commend the entire Sand Pond, as I call them, the Sand Pond Posse, for getting that done and putting on such a great community event. It was absolutely what we needed in this of lockdown. Everyone was wearing masks and you wouldn't even know. The kids were running around and they were skipping so hard their masks were falling off. That leads into another great event, the Warwick Police and Fire. I have to identify Councilman Sinapi and Councilman McAllister for going there and being a part of it, and Representative Bennett at the Trunk or Treat for the Police and Fire. Some of us may have heard about the traffic jam that was in Appanag, but this was the first time they did it. And I was very forgiven. I parked my car way over towards in Ward 7, and I wasn't towed, which was very nice. And I walked all the way down towards Appanag, a pleasant walk on a beautiful evening. And it was phenomenal. The turnout was amazing. We did see some comments, and the police received a little bit of comments about the traffic. But you know what? We're doing everything out of the air during this COVID. And I commend Chief Rathbun and the Warwick Police Department. I commend Chief McMichael and the entire fire department, Warwick Fire Department, for stepping up, getting these donations, the candies, giving of their time, giving of their equipment. The lights were flashing. It was so exciting to see the kids driving up and throwing, like, you know, taking the candy. It was just such a great thing. Well over 2.5 hours of nothing but cars coming through and pulling through and being involved. Again, families and parents and grandparents taking part and trying to get their kids and give them kids some normality in a time where I think we all can admit that maybe the trick-or-treating season wasn't as much as we're used to it to be or we would want it to be. But it was so encouraging and great to see. And I want to thank Mayor Solomon for giving those two departments the ability to go ahead and do something like that and the freedom to get it done. I can't say enough for how they handled it. And finally, Mr. President, I'm sorry, I'm going long-winded, but Election Day police mobilization. A lot of people identified and commented about how they saw a lot of police out in force and there were police at the polling places and the police, I've heard of no issues. And that's because Colonel Rathbun and the Warwick Police Department were ready. They were prepared. They were mobilized, and the professionalism that I witnessed and that all the voters witnessed just reintroduced and sent to the rest of the community that they this was what democracy is about. They have a safe vote. They're going to be protected while they do their constitutional right, and I commend them because Warwick did step up and protect everyone's constitutional right to vote. So it was very encouraging. And as I said the entire time, I wanted to stay positive, and this has been just one extremely positive and good couple weeks. So thank you for the time, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks.
I would certainly agree with everything that Councilman Howe just said, everything that you said earlier, Council President. I would also add, I also observed the police coming on by the polling stations. Excellent job, highly professional. Everyone, I think, felt safe going in to vote. And with that, wanted to extend a thank you and congratulations to the Board of Canvassers, all of the election volunteers and everyone who came out to vote. I don't know what our previous record was for turnout, but if this last year, yesterday, this last and this last month of the emergency voting, the early voting, it's truly been unprecedented with the mail-in ballots and the early voting, still in Rhode Island referred to as emergency voting. But that's all unprecedented. And if we didn't set a new record, then I'm sure that we were very close to it. And for it to go as smoothly as it did, that is just amazing. And I would also like to congratulate our city council president. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that you were originally elected in 1998. And I think that all of us sitting here know how fast just 2 years goes by with the city council. So being up for re-election every 2 years, coming back, keep doing more, getting the job done for all those years and all of those accomplishments, wanted to congratulate you and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Councilman. They do go fast. I think, well, Councilwoman Travis can attest to that, but I believe we've served with close to 40, I mean, Councilwoman Travis has served with more than I have, but I think it's up close to 40 council people that we've served with over the 20 odd years that we've been on the council. Is there anybody else that would like to speak before we go on to the next item? Okay, if not, we're to the quarterly reports. And the first item on the agenda is the Water Department and it's Terry DiPietrillo.
Thank you, Council President. Terry DiPietrillo, the Chief of Water Division. Just finished up the 2020 lead and copper testing for the Warp main system and the Potawatomi system. All samples were below all MCLs. We are in compliance with 90 percentile of them. Last year we had one sample that was over the limit. We replaced that service and we are in full compliance with the EPA. We just finished up the 2019 consumer confidence report that was mailed out to all residents. that can be found in the Water Department, the Cooper Building, Public Library, and also City Hall. We just finished up the 2020 asbestos testing, which is required by the EPA every 5 years. Again, we came in well below the EPA's confidence limits. And coming on the winter, we started our aggressive status of fire hydrants. make sure they're working properly, that they're draining. There's no problems. For the first time, the Water Division, I just completed a system-wide unidirectional flushing program. The flushing program starts at the source, which is Bald Hill tanks, and we move the water systematically through a section of the distribution system. What it does, it's caused the pipes by moving water at a velocity, and it scours the pipe, and it gets rid of natural debris and sediment. That also keeps down our THMs and our halocytic acids, make us compliant with the Department of Health. And lastly, Pure Technologies, as you know, we had that 30-inch line rupture back in 2018. Pure Technologies had just completed their assessment regarding the inspection. They did a complete inspection of the pipe from Pettit Concert, Meter House, all the way to Lincoln Ave. Going on to Route 37, 95, back on the 37 again to Lincoln Avenue. Right now, we just talked to them. We're trying to come up with the best way, the most affordable way to rehabilitate that line. Right now, they're leaning towards inserting a slip lining, a 24-inch PVC line inside the 30-inch cast iron. So technically, that 30-inch cast iron would be a hose pipe. And then we grow out the annular space between that 24 and a 30-inch. And we'll be able to get 100 years out of that. So Stantec, our engineering firm, is putting together a bid now for that.
Thank you, Terry. Terry, on number two, it mentions the 2019 Consumer Confidence Report. And I know that there were some pollutants that were found in violation of the levels that we're supposed to have. And was that a byproduct of the chlorination process, or could you give us some insight there?
Yeah, hold on, let me just go get that report right behind me.
Okay.
Yeah, so what you have, Mr. President, is you have your inorganic contaminants, okay? You have your microbiology contaminants and inorganic contaminants. And if you actually look to the right, it explains how those contaminants get in the water. And sometimes it's soil erosion. It could be salt from the winter. It could be a number of things. And sometimes it's just naturally present in the environment. The downside of treating water is you do get some byproducts, which I just mentioned, THMs, halocytic acids, and that's heavily regulated by the DOH. We do quarterly tests for those there. But the only violation we had last year, like I said, was we had one lead action level at one consumer at Conachita Avenue, but we immediately replaced that line, and we are full compliance this year. All levels are way down.
So that's what I was going to ask about. That wasn't from the Providence water supply. The source was the one of our own pipes.
Well, they're lit service coming into their home, correct?
So was it our pipe that had lead or their pipe?
Both sides. So what we do is coordinate with the homeowner. They replace theirs, we replace ours at the same time. We currently have, I believe we're down to 142 lead services in the city, which is not many to go.
And you have a process of slowly replacing those?
That's correct. Every year when we do the lead and copper report, we take the highest levels, which they're all very low right now, but that's how we determine what we replace.
And how long will it take to replace those 142 pipes?
It all depends. You know, we try to do, a couple a month, weather depending. You have more manpower, more equipment, we could actually put a program together and knock it right out.
Okay. So it's about 3 or 4 years, you think? Or?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does anyone else have any questions? Yes, Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Mr. President. Hi, Terry.
Councilman, how are you?
Good, thank you. excuse me. Thanks for taking care of that water main break the other day, too.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Has just been a problem over there. Terry, can you tell us, as of current time, what you have in delinquent water bills in dollars and cents?
I could not tell you. I would have to contact the collector's office to tell you that, or Councilman, they handle that part of it. But I know since COVID started, we haven't, there's been a moratorium on shutoffs, so it could be great, but I can't get you that information.
Yes, if you could get me the information. So what I'm looking for is what you have for total arrearages on water bills, excuse me, and also an aging of those delinquencies.
Okay.
And while I'm speaking to that, what reminded me to ask you is when I looked at the CC and Mike St. Pierre is on there, I know there's some members of the city council may not be familiar with Mike, and I've always been a proponent of throwing the kudos out when they're deserved.
Absolutely.
Mike was a key part of the a tax sale committee that I formed years ago and designing a plan for collection on water sewer bills. This city never had, and this was a long time ago, this is pre-Solomon administration. This goes back to probably 2003, 13, 14, something like that. The city never even had a past due notice, never had a shutoff notice,
right?
Never had you owe us money notice, never had anything. And the number back then, I'm curious to see what the number is today, because the number back then was a $6 million price tag. It was somewhere in that vicinity of $5 to $6 million. And we threw a lot of stuff on the table in a 2 month period.
Yes.
And Mike never once ever said, we can't do that. It's too difficult. We can't do those forms. He designed and made everything work. He made the forms work. We color coded them for the two different responses that were necessary. Mm-hmm. And the last I heard, that number had been reduced down to somewhere around $1 million or just under $1 million.
That's correct.
So I'm curious to see where it is today, but
okay.
There were a lot of people in that committee did a great job, but Mike just happens to be in the front page today. And I just want all my colleagues to know, you ever need forms designed,
right?
Or you need help, you know, get a hold of Mike. He did a great job.
Well, Cosman, if I can excuse you for a minute, he was supposed to go on before today. It's 7:45. He's still here working.
There you go. Thank you.
I will get that to you, though.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions from council members? Yes, Councilwoman Travis.
Yes. Hi, Terry. Do you have a count of how many hydrants we do have?
Yes. We are at 2,175, Councilwoman.
2,175. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're already checking on all of them before the winter, so they see how they're operable, right?
They'll be done by November 15th.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Council President, I believe you're muted.
Sorry, thank you. Any other questions from council members? If not, thank you for your report, Terry, and we'll move on to the next item.
Thank you.
Which is Phil, MIS. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that right? Is Eric? I think I skipped over Eric.
I believe Eric. Eric's next.
Yeah, Eric, I apologize.
I'm here. Hello, Council President and Council Members. Eric Hindinger, Department of Public Works, presenting the quarterly report for the stormwater. Currently, the DPW has prepared an RFP for firms to assist the city with getting in compliance with the state mandated stormwater regulations. I believe that is up in the purchasing department right now and soon to go out to bid for us. The second item is the Bucky Brook project. As I'm not sure if you all know, but we went out to bid for that. Unfortunately, the bids were quite higher than we thought and more than we have available to us with the money that the community development has. So we're looking at other options to try and bring the costs down. It's difficult because this project is kind of unique. There's only certain places we can put the spoils from the project away. So we're trying to locate an area where we can do that possibly for free or at a lower cost so that we can get it within our budget. Number three is something that's been hanging around. It's a public outreach that we're looking to get. We initially had an RFP that was separate to things previously. We could either look at putting that together again and going out to bid for that, or incorporate that into item number one as well. Another item that was services to protect screening for our stormwater is number four. We did a bunch of outfalls to do that. Crossman Engineering prepared that for us and did some screenings for us. I believe there were approximately 13 outfalls that require some additional testing to do. And then we also have to do some more additional testing for our other outfalls as well. So we'll have to try and get that going as well. Our roadways were swept this year. As usual, we haven't gotten to a second round of sweeping yet. We're going to see if we have staff available to do that in the fall. And then the final item is trainings that I've attended. Most of them were webinars along the way, several different, some are more valuable than others. That's basically it for this quarter on that. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Eric, in number one, it mentions that that you want to go out to an RFP for the state to complete the state mandated stormwater regulation and requirements.
Correct.
Has the city hired outside engineers to do that before?
We have not actually done that. We did go out to bid a few years back, probably in 2010, to get an engineering firms on board to help us out with different types of things. Planning reviews at that point, there was no engineer involved. But so we actually haven't had anybody doing our stormwater work for us. But this would be a basically something to get us going, get us back in line with what's required by the state.
And how much work remains for us to get in compliance?
There's quite a few items that still have to be addressed with our consent decree. The annual stormwater reports have to be completed, as well as some other items that are on that list. I would say we probably have completed about 60% of the items.
And how much do you think is needed in financing to hire someone, an engineering firm, to complete it?
That's kind of a difficult question. We'll have to see what actually comes in at for the bids. We could do a project by project basis on that to determine what it is. I know that we are only I believe that we have $100,000 budgeted. So whatever we would do within the year would have to be within that budget. So once we get the firms on board, we could probably go through and pick out some projects, ask for quotes on those projects for the firms that have been already approved, and then go from there and see how many we can get done within the year.
And can you refresh my recollection of what we're out of compliance with and why the state wants us to get this stormwater requirements finished?
Basically, it's the issues with the phase two stormwater program that we haven't been keeping up to date with. One of the items would be like testing all the outfalls and whatnot, and so we have to kind of get back into compliance with that and up to date with all those.
Okay. And when you say testing, is that a source of pollution for the bay and the tributaries? And
potentially, yes. Obviously, if there is some if the tests come back with contaminants, then we'd have to chase that down and do our investigations to try and find the cause of the root of the contaminations.
I remember in the 90s they traced the contaminants all the way back up to Centerville Road to the farm up near West Warwick, because it had cows on the property, and the fecal matter was leaking into the stream and causing algae blooms and pollution all the way down into Mary's Creek, I believe it was, which is right in Appanog. And so I know that's important to the water quality for our residents, because in particular in the summer, we have beach closures and things. And I think that's an important issue that needs to be addressed as soon as we can to prevent clam kills and fish kills and beach closures. And, obviously I would be in support of getting an engineering firm in there as soon as possible. When was DEM the annual report completed, for what year?
I believe last year was 2018.
So last year we were working on the 2018 report, or I'm not too sure.
Correct. Yeah, we're just behind in, as far as getting those reports done, Councilman.
So what I guess I should have phrased it a little bit better. How far behind are we in getting these reports done?
2 years, I believe.
Okay. And with regard to Bucky Brook, I guess we had a permit. That's number two on the alteration for freshwater wetlands. The project was put out to bid in the spring of 2020, but the available funds that you needed, you didn't have enough money. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And how much money do you need, and what did the bids come back at?
Well, the bids were, the lowest bid was 1.4 million dollars. We have about $1 million available for that. Now, as far as that consultant at the time was not necessarily the most qualified to do the project. So the next bidder, I believe, was 1.7 million. And they would have actually been the choice of us because they've done projects of this type more often than the lowest bidder. But obviously none of the bidders were under the budget, so we couldn't continue with the project.
And refresh my recollection on that. What would this alteration do for Bucky Brook? Why do we need this?
Well, basically over time, there has been a phragmites growth within the brook, and the root mass of the brook is actually obstructing flow coming out of Warwick Pond, thereby increasing the level of the pond. Basically, it's dammed Bucky Brook. And so what we'd like to do is get in there, spray the phragmites, kill phragmites, actually remove the root mass and kind of restore the actual channel of the brook so that the water levels will return to their actual normal level.
And what was your potential source of funding? What was it going to be? I know you didn't have enough money, but was it line item or?
No, that was from a grant through disaster recovery funding with the community development, flooding.
And how much money were they going to give us?
We've got that money. We're hoping to spend it, find a project to spend it on. It's approximately $1 million.
Okay. And how soon do we have to use that money, use it or lose it?
There's no actual date to use it or lose it, but they could come in at any time to take that, I would imagine. There hasn't been any date set.
Eric, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Yeah, I lost you for a sec. Zoom is not perfect. I just wondering how much time we have before we lose that $1 million grant. You know,
I'm sorry. I'm not sure. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there is no drop dead date on that, Councilman.
Okay. And is the money in our hands, or do we have to provide something before we receive it?
The money is available. It's in community development.
Okay. And does community development have any way of raising the additional, $700,000?
Not at this time. We can pursue avenues to try and do that, I suppose, through all the grants and whatnot, when they become available.
Okay. I know that that's been a significant issue for a lot of people that come on and speak. I know it is for Councilman Howe. He's been working on that. And, anything that I can do or anybody else can do to support you to get that money, to get that project rolling would be great.
Council President, I want to thank you for asking those questions and bringing light to this topic. And Eric, thank you for answering them so directly. Thank you.
No problem.
And is there a possibility, Erica, going back to the Rhode Island Airport Corporation, since, a lot of the change in streams, et cetera, have been linked to, non-point source discharge from the airport over the years. Actually point source discharge, because it was coming out of these pipes. And in particular, with regard to the fields, there's been some issues raised when they put in the fields that this is causing sediment to build up and go down. Is this something that the council should be looking to pass a resolution to maybe send to our Rhode Island delegation, our senators and reps in Congress, to see if we can't get some remediation funding from the federal government? And can we help you in any way that way?
Anything you could do for us would help. That would obviously, you know, if we got more people involved, the project is on the airport property. So we, you know, they're fully aware of the project and we have their permission to work on it.
Right.
If they could have, you know, we have had some discussions informally with them regarding potentially a maintenance of the project, because we obviously, if we do spend all the money on this, we don't want it to just revert back to the way it is. Right. Seeing that it is on their property, we hope that they would, you know, maintain it. Again, there have been no guarantees. It's kind of been informal discussions, but anything the council could do for us to try and get some additional funding, so that, you know, unfortunately at this point we probably would have to go out to bid again to do the whole, you know, to get the prices, but we definitely could do that. Hopefully we'd get lower prices. You know, we do the bidding in the middle of the pandemic, so it may have had some effect on it. There could be a potential that the prices could be a little bit lower rebidding it, but I can't tell that until we bid it.
Yeah, and I know it's frustrating for all council members, and we've talked about it in the past, Eric, but yeah. You hit the nail on the head 2 minutes ago when you said this is on their property.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that the council, maybe we could all co-sponsor, and Councilman Howe, you could put it together. I'd be happy to co-sponsor it. Is to, you know, the Rhode Island Airport Corporation needs to fix its own problems on its own property. And if we have $1 million grant to assist them, I would think that they should be able to come up with $400,000 to fix this problem, because it's a significant problem for the residents that wasn't created by the residents. Just keep us updated on this, Eric, and anything that we can do to help you, please let us know. Thank you. Is there any Councilman Howe? Go ahead.
Just very quickly, again, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you to my colleagues for listening, and Eric for following up with all those questions and comments. But I do want to say, Mr. President, I just respectfully remind the council, not RIAC, but we did put forward requesting that the state assist us with finances on this, because we are picking up the tab. Again, Mayor Solomon and the community development, they agreed to pick up the tab because, as you said, it's a Warwick issue. It's not Warwick property. It's a Warwick issue that is not Warwick property, but affecting Warwick residents, especially in that pond area where they're losing their property to the rising waters. It's not caused by global warming. It's caused by Phragmites. So I have to say, we did put forward requesting the state, and part of that was also somehow getting the funding source, whether it be from RIAC and the state. But I will definitely absolutely look into something like that. Unfortunately, as Eric explained before, our window closed. That's why I have the Buckeye Brook scheduling process, so that we can make sure we get this done within the next year, within that next block. So again, Mr. President, I thank you, and I thank all my colleagues for showing interest in this, because it does affect us as a city. But I also want to commend this council and the executive office, because we're picking up the tab and we're picking up the responsibility of something that, like the council president said, shouldn't be our responsibility. And we certainly didn't create it. Thank you.
Thank you. And you know, maybe it's a good time to take a shot with Senator Reed's office too, to bring this to his attention. And as you know, there's new congresses and new state legislators every year, and it might fall into another category that wasn't available to those bodies before. And usually in January, we renew our efforts, and whatever I can do to help, that'd be great. Councilman Lattisaw, had a question? No, okay. Does anybody else have any questions for Eric on engineering? If not, we'll go to MIS and Phil.
Thank you, good night.
Good evening, Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. It's been a while since I've had a chance to present the department's progress to you, so I'd like to spend just a minute highlighting a few items. In the report you have, it points it out that, as is in the case with every department, business, and person, our focus has been limited and dictated by the COVID pandemic. Back in March, I believe, when the stay-at-home order first occurred, the department was able to mobilize the appropriate hardware and software for approximately 100 remote workers within the city in a 7-day period. And this was during a time when every business in the city, state, and country were all vying for the same equipment to do the same job. And I credit both the staff as well as a few of our key business partners for really pulling together to make that happen. There was also a quick adoption of virtual meetings, which we're in the middle of, and prior to the pandemic, the city rarely, if ever, used them. Once again, people's willingness to learn the technology and adapt the way that they were doing things was key to the transition's success. And since there's a work life outside of the pandemic, we were able to successfully keep our cybersecurity training program moving forward with the help of the Rhode Island State Police. We did move forward with the adoption of another Munis module that we already own at no cost. So we're working on getting some training for that, but it was the inventory module. So we're gonna start to take advantage of more of what we're paying for. And we did kick off a couple of projects. We have a timesheet entry process improvement project that we're in the midst of. And we did upgrade the tax collector's department receipt printers. And while that sounds like a more minor project, it actually, the old printers, for a lot of technical reasons, were what was preventing the tax collectors from using the current version of Munis. They had an old desktop version that they had to use because it was in compliance with the printers that they were using. So upgrading those printers was actually an upgrade to the entire department to get a more functionality. That's about it. I'd be happy to answer any questions or expand upon any of those projects.
Thanks, Phil. I did want to thank you for all your help putting together the Zoom meetings when the COVID hit. And, you know, occasionally we have a glitch here or there, but it's been a great asset to the city that we can continue to move forward and have meetings, even though we haven't been able to meet in person. And, you know, we're lucky that we live in a day and age where you can actually do something like this. Not too long ago, we wouldn't have been able to do something
You're
like
right.
this.
You're absolutely right. So,
is there any questions for MIS? Any questions for MIS? Nobody wants their computer shut off? Okay. All right. Very good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. And Earl Bond from Walk Sewer Authority.
I don't see Earl in the panelists right now.
Okay. So why don't we agree to continue that to the next meeting then? Joanne could send out notice to Earl to ask him to be at the next meeting, that would be great.
Just so you're aware, Council President, Earl's away due to a personal matter.
Okay. Is there someone that was supposed to fill in for him? Or did you get notice of anybody that would fill in for him? Or notice that I didn't receive notice about him not being available.
What I just conveyed is the extent of my knowledge. I apologize.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'm glad you told us. And hope everything's okay with him. Okay, so we'll move on to acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on October 19th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
I have a second. Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Howe moves, seconded by Councilman Lattiser. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
I'm going to abstain.
And Councilman McAllister will abstain. And so that passes. And we're on to the announcement of appointment. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I get a little bit of an echo, if we could shut off mics. We're now on to announcement of appointments. There are none. Appointments requiring confirmation. There are none. We're on to the consent calendar. We're on PCR 120, a resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 100-20.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman.
Item number one, 2020-094, HVAC maintenance, favorable action. 2021-132A, purchase various tires, favorable action. 2021-132B, purchase various tires, favorable action. 2021-134, heating oil, favorable action. 2021-159, police uniforms, favorable action. 2021-165A, motor oil, favorable action. 2021-165B, motor oil, chassis lube, favorable action. 2021-165C, motor oil, transmission fluids, et cetera, favorable action. 2021-197, additional vendors for police department personnel uniforms, favorable action. 2021-196, State of Rhode Island Public Safety Communication Equipment, favorable action. And that completes the consent calendar.
Is there any questions that folks didn't ask during the Finance Committee that they would like to ask now on the finance docket? If not, the other item on the consent calendar number two is PCR 10120, a resolution relative to abatements, committee report, finance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Favorable action on PCR 101-20, resolution relative to abatements.
And seconded by Councilman Howe and Councilman McAllister. Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
There was minimal discussion. There were abatements of 7,000 change, Mr. President, and most of them were due to evaluations. There was no questions, and the committee recommended favorable action.
Okay, I believe the amount was of abatements was $7,593.03. Were there any council members that had any questions that didn't get a chance to ask it in the Finance Committee? If not, I don't see any hands. We'll move on to the third item on the consent calendar, which is PCR 10220, a resolution relative to claims, committee report, public safety.
Committee recommends favorable action for one claim. I can give the details.
For action, Councilman Sinapi, you going to move it?
Yep. Committee moves favorable action for the claim of Eric Perlman in the amount of $304.95.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks and Councilman Howe. And a favorable action in the amount of $304.95. Is there any questions on that claim that were not asked in the Public Safety Committee? If not, the consent calendar has been moved and seconded. A yes is to approve the consent calendar, and the clerk will call the roll.
Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yeah.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister? McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes.
Consent calendar stands passed. We'll move on to unfinished business. First item on the agenda is PCO 1019, an ordinance regarding regards to water discharge, Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McElroy, Councilman McAllister, and Councilman Sinapi. This is first passage. It's not drafted. Committee report, ordinance.
Hold to December 21st.
Held till December 21st. Next item on the agenda is PCO 1519 sub A, an ordinance regarding health insurance for city employees. Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Marola, it's first passage as amended, and the committee report from ordinance.
Hold to November 16th.
Held till November 16th. Next item on the agenda is PCO 2919, an ordinance relative to tangible property tax regarding vacant storefronts. And that is now PCR 10320. And I believe it's favorable action amendment, but well, finance, if you could give a recommendation.
Mr. President, I apologize. If I can interrupt, can the other people not speaking mute their microphones? There's a real bad echo. Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Lattiser, could you move that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Could you make the recommendation? Then we'll move it.
Yeah, the recommendation was favorable action.
For action, Councilman.
With an amendment.
With an amendment. For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Ricks, Councilwoman Travis. I believe, Councilman, that we are all pretty much all co-sponsors on this, or?
That's right.
Okay, so the clerk will note that. And did you want to move an amendment, Councilman? And did you want to have one of the attorneys read it in the record, or do you have those?
If one of the attorneys could read it in the record, that'd be preferred.
So Councilman Sinapi is making a motion. Attorney Walter will read it into the record. Could I have a second from someone on the on the amendment?
Second.
Councilman Ricks, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman McAllister. Go ahead, Attorney Walter, if you could read the amendments.
The amendment was on page 1, line 44, to change the word corporate to the word commercial. That was the amendment.
Also, it was to change it to a PCO, PCR.
We'll make that as part of it too.
It changes from PCO to PCR.
Right. Okay. So that's been moved and seconded. Are there any questions? If not, a yes is to approve the amendment, and the clerk will call a roll.
Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Everything?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes.
Amendment stands passed. Councilman Sinapi, if you could move PCR 10320 as amended.
I'd like to move PCR 120 as amended.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Ricks, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on PCR 10320 as amended? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley? Mr. Corley?
Your mic's not muted. Your mic's muted, Rick.
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes as amended.
Okay, PCR 10320 stands passed as amendment, as amended. PCR 10320. Next item on the agenda is PCO 3019, an ordinance involving state law regarding underutilized commercial property. That's first passage. It's not drafted. Committee report, public properties. Is that held till December 7th?
Correct. Hold till December 7th.
Okay, held till December 7th. Next item on the agenda is PCO 2-20, an ordinance relative to forming a commission to establish LED signage guidelines. That's first passage. It's not drafted. Committee report, ordinance.
Hold to the second meeting in January.
Held to the second meeting in January. Next item on the agenda is PCR 195-19, a resolution relative to creating a commission to study health insurance benefits. Committee report, finance. I think that's held to December 7th, Ed. Yeah, your mic's muted.
Hold to December 7th, sorry.
Held to December 7th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2820, a resolution supporting codification of the cancer presumption by the General Assembly that's not drafted intergovernmental. Is that held to December 21st intergovernmental? You have to unmute.
1221.
Held till 1221. Next item on the agenda is PCR 3920, a resolution in regards to amending PCR 1-19 City Council Rules, Rule 30, docketing that's not drafted, committee report, intergovernmental. Is that also held second meeting in January?
Yeah, second meeting in January.
Held to the second meeting in January. Next item on the agenda is PCR 41A-20, a resolution addressing fiscal request for education for fiscal year 2020-2021. That's not drafted, committee report, finance.
Hold December 7th.
Held to December 7th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 6920, a resolution relative to claims. Sean Lavoie. Committee report, public safety.
Committee recommends unfavorable action.
Okay, for action, I'm not too sure whose ward this is, so I'll go back to you, Councilman Snappy, if you could move it for unfavorable action.
Committee moves unfavorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Howe. Any discussion regarding unfavorable action that we didn't have in the committee? If not, a yes is for unfavorable action, and the clerk will call the roll.
Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Yes. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, unfavorable.
Okay, so that stands past unfavorable for PCR 6920. Next item on the agenda is PCR 7920, a resolution for engineering to create Bucky Brook Project. Committee report, intergovernmental.
Second, move it to the second meeting in January.
Held to the second meeting in January. Under new business, PCR 9520, resolution in regards to erecting stop signs on the secondary roadways of Grimshaw Place, Hackman Place, Worth Street, Crystal Drive, and Lockwood Street. That's not drafted. Committee report, public safety.
Hold till December 7th, please.
Held till December 7th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 9620, a resolution in regards to erecting a stop sign at the northwest portion of Horseneck Road and Pinehurst Avenue. Committee report, public safety.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilwoman Travis.
I move favorable action on PCR 9620.
Seconded by Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion? I believe this is supported by a traffic study, correct, Councilwoman?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Is there any questions we didn't have in committee? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Yes, 9.
PCR 9620 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 9720, a resolution regarding ratification of the Cooper Building lease. Committee report, finance.
Hold November 16th.
Held till November 16th. We're on to unanimous consent.
Council President, if I may, the Attorney Walsh told me I should bring up now the reconsideration request.
Is that going to be under unanimous consent or?
I truly don't know. I think it's supposed to be right before that it comes up, but you'd know better.
Mr. President and Councilman, there was a discussion at committee on a particular item at public safety. Chairman Sinappi had had a question about the reconsideration of an item that was dealt with at the last meeting. The item is PCR 6820, and it's a resolution relative to the claim of Mark Huell. The item was passed at that last meeting, unfavorable action, by a vote of 7-1. Pursuant to the rules for anyone, because it was not put on the docket for this evening, we can't consider any action, but it is in order under Rule 27 to, should the council wish, to put the item for reconsideration onto the next meeting's docket. So that was Councilman Sinappi's request. He was a member of the prevailing side of that motion, and it would need to be seconded by somebody else who was of the prevailing side. A successful motion at this time, if seconded and approved by the members of the council this evening, would then put this item for reconsideration on the next meeting's docket so that we fulfill the open meetings requirements.
So we need a second and a vote? Second and a vote, okay. Councilman Sinappi, you're moving to for reconsideration, correct?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy.
Just for the record, Councilman Howe is unable to second the motion as he voted on the other side.
Okay.
Second.
Councilman Ricks has seconded and Councilman McElroy has seconded. Councilman Sinappi, before we call the vote, you just want to fill us in on this issue?
Sure. So basically the claimant contacted the clerk post-vote saying he had issues getting into the call, or I should say the meeting, during the time frame in which his bill was being heard. So, and he'd like the opportunity to speak on it. And I have no problem with that. Unlike some of the other people, he actually contacted us or tried to. So I have no problem offering the opportunity for him to do so.
And do you know how much the claim was for? How much he was making, the claim?
I recall it was pretty significant, actually. It was a claim for anywhere from $700 to $4,000 based on the estimates, although pretty much every estimate is $700 to $925 except for one, which is almost $4,000.
Was this a pothole damage or was it a
claim? No, this is damage from a tree.
Okay. And it's over, it could be over $2,500?
It could be.
I'm just wondering, maybe Attorney Conley could refresh my recollection of when this gets referred to the trust. After we deny it? I can't hear you. I think you're...
Yes, sorry, I didn't unmute. Yeah. So, yes, it can be denied and referred to the trust.
If we were to vote, no, but we're now voting for reconsideration.
Right.
Okay, so are there any questions from council members on the motion to reconsider? Okay. A yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to reconsider.
Okay, so the motion to reconsider passes. We'll move on to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything for unanimous consent?
No.
Pass. Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 8?
Pass.
And I pass also. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
Councilwoman Travis moves to the docket session. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We're now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket?
No.
Pass. Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Pass.
I have one. Yes, I have one. Resolution in regard to erecting 2 stop signs on Suburban Parkway.
Council President, we can't hear you.
Sorry. Can you hear me okay?
No. Yes.
Okay. So Ward 4 passes, I think. Ward 5?
Passed.
Pass. Ward 6?
I have one. Okay. A resolution in regards to erecting 2 stop signs on Suburban Parkway.
Public safety. Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 8?
I have 2. One's a resolution. Resolution in regards to erecting a 4-way stop sign on Kenyon Avenue.
That's public safety.
The other one is an ordinance in regards to erecting no parking signs on Naples Avenue in front of the Starbucks parking lot facing westbound.
Okay, so that's also public safety. Ward 9 passes and the meeting's adjourned, and have a good evening.